every time there's a challenge or a difficulty, if I can really give that to the Lord and pray to Him and trust Him in the situation, an exact, a really glorious answer to prayer is on the other side, pretty much the exact sides of the problem.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. On today's Mission Compass, we want to update you on what Galcom is doing around the world and also connect with a ministry partner who, like Galcom, is making waves. Where do you fit in the Great Commission? Well, keep listening. We may have an answer for you. And here's your host, Galcom's Tim Whitehead.
Well, thank you, Ron. Friends, if you're new to the program here, the Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission, you probably don't know a lot about the ministry that produces it, Galcom International. What we do is we go around the world, we build radio stations for pastors and missionaries so they can reach a larger area and a larger audience than they would normally. So instead of a couple hundred people on a Sunday morning, they're reaching thousands, tens of thousands every day with the good news of Jesus Christ. And we manufacture and distribute solar-powered fixed-tune radios and audio Bibles. Fixed-tunes means they're locked onto that Christian station. You can't change the dial and listen to something else. It's exclusive listening to the gospel. But to do this, we work in partnership. Everything we do at Galcom is in partnership. So Ron, you were just saying about where do you fit? I'm pointing at you, friends listening. Where do you fit in the Great Commission? Well, every week we're talking to one of our partners. And this week, I'm so glad to be talking to Cheryl Greenwood, Country Director for SIM in Ecuador. We work with SIM in Bolivia and Nigeria and Ecuador and on. Wonderful mission agency with people on the ground sharing their faith, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ cross-culturally. With people, they had to learn a language, they got to learn a culture, and they go, and then we come alongside and say, here's some tools to reach more people at a time, to multiply yourself, to expand your reach. That's what partnership's all about. And friends, you have a part to play in this. Maybe you can go as a missionary. We're going to be talking about our short-term team that we sent down there last year, a group of guys from a church in Swanson, British Columbia. They went down to hand out radios and to support the work there of SIM. Maybe you want to go on a short-term trip. Maybe you want to partner with us here at Galcom, literally making the radios. There's all sorts of ways that you can participate, but you do have a part to play, and we want to talk about that today. But one of the best ways to start is by praying. As well as Cheryl Greenwood, Bonnie Saylor is going to join us with a short devotional. But Faye Watford, our communications team lead, she's going to be in talking about an unreached people group. Every morning at Galcom, we go to joshuaproject.net and we pray for the unreached people group of the day. Friends, if you want to get an understanding of what it means to be a missionary, you have to start with having a heart for people that don't know about Jesus. One of our board members once shared that before he came to Christ, he felt that people didn't love him. They just want to kind of get a notch in their belt that they converted someone. Getting to know a culture, praying for them, having a heart for them, loving them is what motivates us here at Galcom to do mission. So start by praying with us. We're going to have the unreached people of the group of the day here. But first of all, again, Bonnie Saylor is going to share from God's word. So we got Bonnie, then Faye, then Cheryl. We got a great program about how you can fit in serving God in the Great Commission. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Mission Compass.
Patrick still remembers the first moment he held his newborn daughter and thought, I'm not prepared for this. I have no idea how to care for this tiny, fragile human. I'm Bonnie Saylor with Reset. Have you ever felt the panic that comes with being utterly unprepared? Maybe it's an unexpected opportunity or promotion. You might be starting a relationship. It could be that God is calling you to new adventures that feel both thrilling and terrifying. When God called a man named Moses to be a leader, Moses didn't feel ready or qualified. Instead, he was reluctant and fearful, listing all his shortcomings that should disqualify him. God didn't think any of Moses' reasons diminished his ability to use Moses. And so, God reassured a terrified Moses with a simple promise that answered his every fear, "But I will be with you." Jesus follower, God speaks those exact words to you today as he gives you a calling that seems far too big for you to handle alone, like the calling to live a holy life, to be humble, gentle, patient with each other, and the call to go into all the world, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, and teaching them to follow Jesus. Who am I that you would call me, you might be asking. If, like Moses, you're listing all the reasons you're not qualified, these words are for you. Jesus said, "Be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's the promise that makes all the difference. As you embark on or continue in the challenges of answering God's call for your life, know this: God is with you. We need to remind each other of this truth over and over. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To read, share, or hear this again, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Well, friend, as we do every couple weeks, we like to do some research and share with you what we learned about an unreached people group around the world. An unreached people group is less than 2% Christian, and there is no mature, self-reproducing church to spread the gospel. They need missionaries. They need help. And so Faye Watford, our communications team lead, is here again to help us learn more and to be praying more for people that need to know about Jesus. So Faye, who are we learning about today?
Thanks, Tim. I thought we'd talk a little bit about a small people group in Ecuador called the Acuar. And the reason we're talking about them today is because I know you're going to be interviewing a SIM missionary who's in Ecuador later on in the show.
You always get this really planned together here. I appreciate this, Faye.
I try.
We're thinking Ecuador today, everybody. All right. So who do we got?
So the Acuar, they're this small group of 7,400 people, and they live in Ecuador and Peru on each side of the border in the rainforest. And they're an indigenous group, and they hold the distinction of being one of the last people groups that have avoided changes in their culture due to contact with Western civilization. They stayed away from most European contact until the 20th century. Finally, Christian missionaries, they secured a foothold in the Acuar society in the 1940s and 50s. And now the Acuar have a New Testament in both written and audio form in their language.
You mentioned right at the top that there are only 7,400 people in this language group, this culture. This isn't uncommon now, friends. When we're talking about unreached people groups, they're forgotten people, they're isolated people, either of their choice or just kind of left behind, but they need to know about Jesus. And that's why this is so important to talk about them. Even though it's only 7,400, they desperately need to know about Jesus. So let's talk. You said they're hiding in the rainforest.
Yeah, and their numbers are not increasing, as you mentioned, because of the development of the Amazonian rainforest. So their numbers and their livelihood is declining, mainly because of the discovery of oil in the Amazon in 1964. And then the oil companies, they began to claim the land for development and profit. And then the Acuar just excluded from their territory, their lands, so that the companies can drill there. And so now non-Indigenous contact has also introduced diseases to the Acuar, and including STDs and things like that. And there's conflict between the Acuar and the oil company because their homeland is being polluted by oil spills. The oil companies use improper business practices sometimes, and they have violent interactions with the Acuar.
This reminds me, a lot of people look at missionaries and say, oh, leave them alone, leave their culture alone. Well, if we don't come there as missionaries and help and bring social aid and care and development, businesses are coming in. We saw this in Africa with mining, in where we have a radio station in Solwezi, Zambia. Here, just profiteering off of people, exploiting land. So definitely we need to come in with help and good news. And that's what missionaries bring. So don't say, oh, we should leave these people alone. No, because someone's going to come there, and it's better that it's the message of Jesus Christ with help and healing and the gospel. You know, as you said, here's a business that comes in violently taking their land. So are they violently resisting them?
Yes. And it was quite interesting when I was doing my research, seeing the contrast between the peaceful missionary work among the Acuar that was actually quite effective for them versus these profiteering type people coming in later on and really causing a lot of conflict. So the Acuar will use a lot of violence to defend themselves if they perceive an enemy. Between themselves, like amongst their own villages, the conflict is very minimal, but there's a constant struggle between all the different tribes in the area. And I was like, okay, so what does that mean, the struggle between tribes? To put it in context, over 60% of the Acuar adult males have died through warfare. They've lost more than 60% of their adult men. And that is recent statistics. That's not like historical stuff. That is quite current, that statistic.
So they're fighting against these businesses coming in. They're fighting against other tribal groups. So is this like part of their culture? Are they spending all their time in, you know, preparing for fighting and training for fighting and in warfare?
Well, warfare is a constant in their lives. But they also really value the domestic household, and their households have like this core family. There's multiple wives and close relatives that all live together, and 10 to 15 households will normally form a village. They live in these large separate houses, but the houses are close to each other. And their lifestyle is mainly agricultural. The women gather and carry game, and they care for the gardens. They prepare all the meals. Sometimes they fish, but mostly they do domestic things. The men work in the forest and clear the ground for gardening. They hunt. They repair the house. And then the other thing I read is that the men also gather to discuss current events and concerns, and they drink this locally made form of beer made from manioc. And when I hear that, I just immediately thought, pub. They have a pub.
They're hanging out, yeah.
So that makes them sound like they have a lot of time relaxing. But another interesting feature of their culture is that they highly value self-control. The men exercise great discipline and willpower in their homes. And when I say self-control, I mean things like avoiding gluttony. They abstain from sleep sometimes. They try not to overuse household materials. And they also consider highly valued the self-control of managing their expressions and attitudes, especially in front of visitors and strangers. So they will avoid eye contact and cover their mouth while they're speaking, because that's considered a form of self-control.
Interesting. All right, so we're getting a view of their culture. How about their religion then?
So they do practice sort of a folk religion, shamanism and witchcraft. They're the main religions that the Akwar people practice. They believe in a form of karma and feel a spiritual connection and sense of duty to game animals and nature. And they practiced enhanced dreams and soul journeys by drinking hallucinogenic drinks. They rely on this omen system in order to prepare to hunt game. So they seek to have the dreams or hallucinations that will foretell their future success in hunting. Another interesting practice is that they bury their dead by placing the body in a hollowed out log, like a canoe. And during the funeral of a head of the household, the canoe is buried in the middle of the house to symbolize the continuing presence of the late figure. So they literally keep the corpse with them underneath the ground.
Wow. So this isn't uncommon. A lot of indigenous groups with this kind of animistic worship of nature and of other things. So very difficult group to reach. They're isolated. They've been abused by Western society. They have this unique religion. They kind of keep away from people and even communicating, and they kind of hide themselves, don't betray their true emotions and attitudes. So then how can we connect with them?
Right. So because missionaries did contact them in the 20th century and successfully make their way into their culture, there is a way to reach them. There are some AQR Christians, about 1% are evangelical believers, but of course, most AQR still practice witchcraft. So they need to be reached by missionaries who can bring them the word of God to counteract this. And also education and hygiene, farming, social order, and the value of medicines would likely be beneficial to these people. So Tim, maybe you can pray for inroads in that way into their culture.
Yeah, let's pray for them now. Lord God, we just stop and pray for the AQR. Lord, they have been abused. They've been exploited. And Lord, they need to be shown love and kindness and respect. And so I just pray that as we work with mission groups and bring in audio scriptures and gospel storying, that we would respect their culture and honor them. And then, Lord, show them the love of Jesus Christ, that there is a way. They don't have to fear demons and spirits, but, Lord, you have brought freedom and love and hope. And so we just pray we would be able to be advocates for them, too, defending their land and their culture from businesses that would exploit them for money. And so, Lord, help us to do what is right socially and, Lord, spiritually. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more on these people and many others, check out joshuaproject.net. There you can sign up to receive an email every day on an unreached people group. And Joshua Project also has an app you can download to your phone.
Thank you so much, Faye.
Thank you.
Stories help us understand our place in this world. Galcom International presents Stories of the Great Commission.
The phone rings and this guy calls us. It turns out that this gentleman was listening on his radio, and he literally walked across the frozen lake 4 miles to somebody's house to use their phone to make this phone call. And it was probably 25, 30 below out. And I thought, what is so compelling? The gospel is so compelling that this gentleman had to walk in this frozen winter weather to get the answer. Right then and there, led him to the Lord on the phone. Eventually, we met him. Now this gentleman is really impacting people in bringing the gospel to them.
Discover the importance of your life story in fulfilling the Great Commission. Learn more at galcom.org, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Galcom International. Make waves.
Well, friend, each week here on the Mission Compass, we want to point you in a direction to serve God in missions, in the Great Commission. That's why we're called the Mission Compass, guiding you along your path in your discipleship journey with God. And part of that is telling others about Jesus Christ. And I'm always excited to meet people who have kind of gone a lot farther down that path than even I have and gone and become cross-cultural vocational missionaries. Last year, we sent a missions trip down to Ecuador, and we met Cheryl Greenwood, country director for Ecuador with SIM. She joins us now to tell us a little bit about her journey, what they're doing there. Cheryl, thank you so much for giving us your time.
Hi, Tim. Yes, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So first of all, Ecuador. Probably most of us in Canada and America couldn't find it on a map. So where are you in the world?
Ecuador is in the southern part of the Americas. So go past Central America, and we're just below Colombia, the second country after Colombia. Yeah.
All right. So you'll go through Mexico, Colombia, hang a right, and you'll bump into Ecuador.
Right. Exactly. Yes. And it's called Ecuador because we are on the equator.
Ah. You know, that makes a lot of sense. I probably should have put two and two together myself.
And the Ecuadorians say we are the middle of the world. That's what they call Ecuador. Mitad del mundo.
Since we're talking a little bit about Ecuador, tell us a little bit more about the culture then. You know, you're from America. So tell us now kind of a little about the culture shock. What sticks out to you there about the culture being unique about Ecuador?
Well, and many people might know, Latins are a very warm culture. So very relational, touchy-feely. Their personal space is much smaller than people maybe in North America. Very open and warm. Love to welcome you and invite you into their homes. So they are trusting at first, but if you lose their trust by not treating them well or so forth, then you lose their trust and it's hard to get it back.
Wow. So what led you to Ecuador then? Was it purposeful when you said yes to serving in missions? Was it always Ecuador? Or is this a path that God just brought you there? Or?
No, we didn't. My husband and I both had decided at a young age before we met, we wanted to be missionaries. So when we met and began dating, we were considering where we would like to go. So all over the world, the whole entire world was open in our mind. We didn't have a particular country in mind. But my husband is a pediatrician. He's a doctor. And his service had carried him to 3 specific places in his training that had a lot of Latin people in those locations. And so he already knew some of the language. He was familiar with the culture and the people. And so that just seemed logical. So then we looked for a mission that we were interested in joining, and we landed on SIM. They're a very family-oriented mission. So we loved that because our 3 kids were welcomed and cared for well by SIM International, and they were prepared well to be missionary kids in our training. And so we also had to connect with some type of medical ministry. So Ecuador had some medical caravans, some outreaches in a rural part of Ecuador that did not have any churches. And so that's how we got to Ecuador.
Wow. I appreciate the details you gave us about SIM, because I know there's a lot of excuses we can build for ourselves not to go into missionary service. Okay, well, I'm not qualified. I'm not a Bible teacher. I'm not a doctor. Okay, so I can't be a missionary. Well, no, that's not true. Well, I've got things that are tying me down. I got to care for family and so on. So it's great to hear that there's mission agencies that have answered that question about family. But you say pretty matter of fact, like everything was smiles and roses and sunshine. Sure, there must have been some challenges along the way raising 3 kids in a foreign country.
Well, yes. Challenges came before getting here and just raising our support. So we had scheduled, one of the really landmark stories in my history about becoming a missionary. We were ready to come in January, and our house had not sold for a whole year. We were ready to come to Ecuador and our house had not sold. So we drastically reduced the price And within a day, someone wanted to buy it at this reduced price. So then we call the field and we say, we were supposed to be there 3 months earlier. And we call them and said, we haven't sold our house. So then we sell our house and we say, we're ready to come. We'll be there in 2 months. And they said, we can't receive you in 2 months. And we just sold our house.
Oh, so no.
We asked the purchasers who if we could rent back from them. And they said no. So we were looking and looking for a place to live. And we couldn't find any place to live for a couple of months. So I'm putting all my furniture into a van and sitting on the stairs, looking out the front door at the van being filled by my neighbors. And I just thought, Lord, where are we supposed to drive this van in a few hours? So one of my neighbors went home for lunch. And when he came back, he said, I have a place for you to live. A Christian down the road has trying to sell their house as well. And it's empty. And he would like you to have it until you're ready to go in a couple months.
Wow.
And the best part of that story is that because we moved, we lived next to a family who went to Vacation Bible School with us the next month, and they became believers. My daughter's soccer coach became believers because after all these months of us telling him we were going to leave to Ecuador, he says, why are you even doing this? So we got to share the gospel with him. And we came to Ecuador in the first month we were here. We were in a specific place at a specific time and were able to talk to a lady right across where we were staying that we wouldn't have met if we'd come earlier. And we were able to share the gospel with her. And so we stayed in the United States 3 more months so that 3 more people could become Christians. And God orchestrated all of that. So that was a pretty amazing story for us.
Absolutely. I needed to hear that personally. We're going through a bit of a time of waiting, questioning God. And I'm praying that at some point I'm going to be able to turn back around and go, see God's loving divine hand on all of these, what we think are delays, setbacks, frustrations. What a great story. All these people coming into the kingdom because of challenges, you know, frustrations. That's wonderful.
Right. Exactly. And so then on the field, I've just noticed over the 17 years that we've been here that every time there's a challenge or a difficulty, if I can really give that to the Lord and pray to him and trust him in the situation and not give up, a really glorious answer to prayer is on the other side, pretty much the exact sides of the problem. So the bigger the problem, the greater the glorious story that is on the other side. So I have lots of reasons to be confident of that.
Do you have an example of one of those for us?
Well, just the COVID crisis, for example. I mean, everybody can relate to that, mm-hmm. right? So we have a lot of ministries going on, and Ecuadorians are very personal, very relational. So it might seem more efficient to have like a big group of 40 or 50 people and be doing a Bible study with them. But Ecuadorians they're friendly, but they're reserved. So they more prefer that you would be at their house with their home and their family and just be talking to 1 or 2 people, or at most 4 or 5 of their family if you're going to do a Bible study. So all the missionaries are spread out all over visiting houses, doing small group visits, and then COVID hits. And so, you know, for a couple weeks, you think, oh, this will pass in a few weeks, but a few weeks turns into months, and months, at least for us, turned into years. And Ecuador was very serious about controlling the COVID spread. So everyone was able to come out of their house only one morning of every week.
Oh my.
The military and the police would be patrolling the streets and getting everyone, you know, if you walked your dog, they were on megaphones, get back in your house, you know. Part of it was because the medical system is not as strong here as maybe in some other countries, more developed countries. And so the hospitals were very quickly overwhelmed. And so they're real strict. Lockdown was to prevent people from getting ill and getting seriously ill. So as missionaries, we're like, how are we going to keep in touch with our people, the people that we're growing with? And so we had to all very quickly learn Zoom and just cry to continue to connect with people. But for the one morning of a week that we were out, we had some coordinated efforts for the people who lost their jobs or weren't able to work. At least where we are, most people live week by week, day by day. They'll buy maybe one pill of a course of 10 pills for an illness. So they get paid every day or every week. So when COVID hit and they couldn't go out and they couldn't get money and they couldn't work, there were a lot of people that didn't have food. So there was a lot of organization to have your half day, go to the market and buy a lot of food, take it to someone else's house so that they could sort it and divide it. And then on another day, when another person could go out, they would carry the food to all the people in different churches. So Sim helped quite a number of churches to help some of their people get through the COVID crisis. So, but on the other end, we had, you know, at the end of that COVID crisis, we had a lot of new relationships, a lot of new connections with churches, a lot of people who knew that there were people around them who loved Jesus and wanted to share Bible stories with them and tell them about Christ.
Well, friend, we're at the end of our program today. We'll continue this conversation next week on Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. We really appreciate you joining us, and we would like to send you a special gift. Contact us to receive your free copy of our devotional, 30 Days of Faith. Visit galcom.org and click Mission Compass. Fill in your contact info, and we'll mail your gift out to you right away. If you enjoyed today's program, you can listen again at galcom.org or on your favorite streaming platform. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled GALCOM.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.